Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Daniel's prophecy of Belshazzar as we pick up in Daniel chapter 7, verse 7. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now, as we read of these four beasts, we immediately see their correlation with the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had that was interpreted by Daniel. As Nebuchadnezzar had a vision of those world-governing empires, or those governments that would govern over the world. Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he saw them as an image of a man, with the head of gold, the chest of silver, stomach of brass, legs of iron, and the feet of iron and clay with the 10 toes. And of course, he watched it until this rock came, not cut with hands, that hit the image and its feet, and the whole image crumbled, and the rock grew into a mountain that covered the earth. Now, we have a parallel vision by Daniel. Only he does not see the world-governing empires as a man, but he sees them as beasts. And the first lion would, of course, be the Babylonian Empire. It had eagle's wings that were plucked. It was lifted up from the earth. But then it was made to stand like a man. The second, like a bear, 3 ribs in its mouth, the Medo-Persian Empire. The third, the leopard, would be the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great. And interesting, the four heads, when Alexander the Great died, the kingdom or the Grecian Empire did not pass on, because Alexander the Great did not have any children, did not pass on in a dynasty, but actually was divided into 4 separate heads, and 4 of his generals began to rule, one in Syria, one in Egypt, one in Asia Minor, and the other in Greece. And so the dividing into the 4 heads. But finally, this last beast, the Roman Empire, is just an awesome beast of which there is no correlation. You can't say, oh, it's a lion or a bear. It's just an awesome, fearful looking kind of a beast, such as does not exist in reality. It has 10 horns. And of course, we are reminded of the 10 toes of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. So you have the 10 horns coming out of the fourth beast, the Roman Empire, even as you have the 10 toes, part iron, part clay, showing their relationship to the Roman Empire. So you have parallel visions here, as God is again revealing the 4 world-dominating empires. But now we're going to receive some other interesting enlightenment that did not come in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Now I considered the horns, that is the 10 horns of this final beast. And behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. So there is to be a federation of nations in the last days. Nations that were related to the Roman Empire, 10 of them together, equaling the 10 toes or the 10 horns. Now, in the European community, we do see today 10 nations that were related to the Roman Empire that have federated themselves together. So it is quite possible that what you see today in the European community is actually the beginning of the fulfillment of these prophecies of Daniel. If God doesn't use this alignment, he's missing a good opportunity. I believe that it is much more than coincidence that Western Europe is rising as a great financial and an industrial empire. And surely there are all the qualifications necessary to fulfill this vision of Daniel. But there is a 11th horn that arises, which actually takes over three of the horns, plucks them up by their roots. And in this horn, there were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. This 11th horn is the Antichrist, who will come in, plucking up three of the kings. And I beheld, he said, till the thrones were cast down. You remember in Nebuchadnezzar's vision, the stone hit the feet in its, the stone hit the image in its feet, and the image crumbled. It was cast down. So I beheld until these thrones, the 10 kings, were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. And a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, and 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the judgment was set, and the books were open. And so he beheld these horns until they were cast down, and he saw actually the throne of God, the Ancient of Days, and all of the splendor and the glory surrounding the throne of God. 1,000,000 or 1,000,000 ministering unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 or 100,000,000 standing before him. Now when we turn to Revelation chapter four, actually, we see God sitting upon the throne. We see the green emerald rainbow about the throne of God. We see the crystal sea in front of it. We see the 24 elders with their golden crowns there also before the throne of God, and the cherubim surrounding him declaring, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." We see the brightness of God as he sits there upon the throne. And then our attention is diverted to the scroll that is in the right hand of God, because an angel is proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to take this scroll and to loose the seals?" And then we turn and we see Jesus as a lamb that has been slaughtered as he comes forth, and he takes the scroll out of the right hand of him who sits upon the throne. And we watch them as they offer the golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints, and we begin to sing, "Worthy is the Lamb to take the scroll and to loose the seals thereof. For he was slain, and he has redeemed us by his blood out of all of the nations, tribes, tongues, and peoples. And he has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign with him upon the earth." And then he heard 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, equivalent to Daniel here, angels there before the throne of God, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor and dominion and might and authority and power and all." So again, the scene in heaven, which will be followed immediately, the book is open, or when the scroll is open, brings actually the judgment, not the great white throne judgment, but the judgment of God upon the Christ-rejecting world, which is then described in Revelations chapters 6 through 18. So Daniel and John had corresponding visions of this throne of God and the glory of the throne of God and the impending judgment upon the kingdom of man. Now I beheld then, because in verse 11, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, and I beheld even till the beast was slain. We are told concerning this beast, the man of sin, the son of perdition, commonly called the Antichrist, that he speaks great blasphemous things against the God of heaven, and that he finally declares that he himself is God and demands to be worshipped as God, puts to death those that refuse to worship him. So I beheld him till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. We are told in the book of Revelation that when Jesus comes again, that he will destroy this instrument of Satan, this man of sin, and he will be cast into Gehenna, the lake that burneth with fire. So here Daniel and Revelation are just running side by side, parallel visions. Now concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, the kingdoms of the earth, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Now I saw in the night visions, and behold, there was one like the Son of Man, coming with clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and that which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And so he sees now Jesus Christ and the receiving of the glorious kingdom being given to Jesus and coming to reign, a kingdom that shall never end. Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, to order and to establish it in righteousness and in judgment, from henceforth even forever, for the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. And the angel said unto Mary, fear not, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call him Jesus, and he shall be great, for he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So Daniel got a beautiful insight into these things. He sees Jesus coming with clouds of heaven, coming to the Ancient of Days and receiving the authority, the dominion, the glory, the kingdom, that all of the world should rule him. In Psalm 2, God says to Jesus, ask of me and I will give unto you the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession, the glorious kingdom of God. Now I, Daniel, he said, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body. The visions of my head troubled me. So I came near to one of those that were standing by, and I asked, what does all of this mean? And so he told me, and he made me know the interpretation of the things. Now the great beast, which are four kingdoms, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. These are the kingdoms that are going to rule over the earth, but ultimately the saints will take the kingdom. Then I would know the truth of this fourth beast, this indescribable beast, the Roman Empire, which was different from all of the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, his nails of brass, which devoured and broke in pieces and stomped the residue with his feet. And of those 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, before whom the three fell, even of that horn which had eyes and a mouth that spoke very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Now we are told this also in Revelation 13, as he speaks of the rise of the beast out of the sea, the Antichrist, that he makes war with the saints and overcomes them. Because the Antichrist prevails against the saints, I conclude that the saints are not the church. For we have the promise of Jesus Christ made in Caesarea Philippi to his disciples. When Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's no way the Antichrist or the gates of hell or Satan can prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. So by virtue of the fact that the Antichrist is prevailing against the saints, they could not be the church, but will be redeemed Israel in the tribulation period. And he will make war against Israel. He comes to Jerusalem and he makes war against the remnant of the woman's seed or of Israel. But they are not church or the church. Daniel did not see the church in his prophecies. He was making war against the saints, prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now, you remember Paul rebuked the Corinthians, those in the church in Corinth. He said, what are you doing taking your brother to a pagan judge, you know, suing them before the courts of the land? You ought to be settling these things in the church. Don't you know the saints are going to judge the world? And so judgment is given to the saints. We will be judging the world one day. Interesting. That's one thing I never wanted to be. Maybe I can just get a job picking up coconuts on the beach in Hawaii. But the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, or the Roman Empire, which will be different from all of the kingdoms and will devour the whole earth and tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he will subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and will wear out the saints of the Most High, and he will think to change the times and the laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and the dividing of a time, or for a 3.5-year period. Will he rule, coming to Jerusalem, beginning to make war against Israel? During the first 3.5 years of his reign, he'll make a treaty with Israel. We'll get this in Daniel chapter 9. But then he will break this treaty, which will start the beginning of the end and the countdown, the last days until the return of Jesus Christ. But he is given power to rule over these saints, the redeemed Israel, for 3.5 years. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it and unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matters, but as for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Now, 2 years later, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even as unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. A similar type of a vision. But in this vision, it came to pass when I saw that I was in the Shushan, in the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai. And then I lifted up my eyes, and I saw, and behold, there stood before a river a ram that had 2 horns. And the 2 horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. The Medo-Persian Empire, represented by the 2 horns, the Persian Empire being the higher, coming up last, and was more powerful than the Median Empire. And I saw the ram, that is the Medo-Persian Empire, as it was pushing westward and northward, southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. And he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth, touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. So he was watching this ram, the Medo-Persian Empire, as it was conquering. But suddenly, there comes this goat out of the west, Greece, with a notable horn, Alexander the Great, and conquering so rapidly that the feet weren't touching the ground. You read of the conquest of Alexander the Great, and it's amazing how rapidly he was able to conquer the known world at that time. And he came to the ram that had the two horns, which I had seen standing before the river. And he ran unto him with the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him. And he smote the ram and broke his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stomped on him. And there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great and was strong. And the great horn was broken. And from it, there came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. Graphic prophecy, fabulous, interesting prophecy. How could Daniel know this except by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? That the great horn, Alexander, would be broken in his youth, 32 years old when he died. And the Grecian Empire passed on to the four generals, Syria, Antiochus Epiphanes, and then, of course, out of Egypt, Asia Minor, and Greece.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Daniel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Daniel 7 through 8 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bless and keep you in the love of Jesus Christ. And may the Lord work in your life this week in a special way, bringing forth victory out of seeming defeat. And may you experience God's hand upon your life as He trains, as He teaches, as He develops His work of love and grace within your life, as He prepares you for the future. May the Lord strengthen you and cause your life to be a witness for Him, in Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Have you ever thought about this simple phrase, God loves you? This just might be the most important truth you could ever grasp, that God has called you into a loving relationship with Himself. Unfortunately, many of us have been brought up to think that we need to earn God's love. In Chuck Smith's book, Why Grace Changes Everything, Pastor Chuck imparts years of wisdom from his own experiences, how he thought he had to work hard and deny his own desires for God to love him. But when he unlocked the secret to God's grace, this changed everything. Come alongside Pastor Chuck to discover an astonishing truth about your relationship with Jesus Christ, that it's not based upon your works, but based upon God's love for you. It's true. Grace changes everything. To find out more and to read a preview, visit thewordfortoday.org and click on the link to download Why Grace Changes Everything by Chuck Smith. Or if you would like to order this book in print, call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673.